Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing working our way through the letter that is written to a group of believers. We call the letter Hebrews. Remember, this is a group of believers that are true believers that came out of Judaism. And the Spirit led the author to write to them about some things that were occurring, some distractions in their life. At the end of the letter, we see what the purpose was, and the purpose was to exhort them, okay, to exhort them, to encourage them. And there's tremendous detail. We can see some big picture things. Overall, they were being tempted by a couple of things. They were undergoing trials and tribulations. Some of them had actually been put in prison for their belief, for their faith. And then also some of them were being tempted to go back to the old way, okay, to go back to Judaism, to go back to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to go back and do the things that were done under the law. And so he's dealing with a lot of these issues, and he's encouraging them to remember that Jesus is better than everything. And he uses example after example after example. And therefore, to keep believing in Jesus. Don't get distracted by these things. Well, we're at the point right now that we're in seventh chapter, and we looked at the first couple of verses in the previous episode, and he's speaking of Melchizedek again. He first mentioned Melchizedek over in chapter 5, and we looked at that, did some cross-referencing out of the Old Testament, and now he brings it back up again, and he's just presenting some points here which they would have known. They would have known very well, okay, and that we don't know at all. And so we have to spend a little extra time here just sort of thinking about these things and wondering about these things. And there's some of these things that we're not quite sure about. Okay, there's big debate over some of this. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff we'll be looking at here in just a moment. So let's go back and read these first two verses again, and then we'll press on. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. So what he's telling us right here, he's reminding them of the account, okay, the account that we've seen earlier over in Genesis, about what happened when Abraham went out, was victorious over these kings, that Abraham encountered Melchizedek, and Abraham gave a tenth part of the spoils to Melchizedek. Now, of course, people, you'll hear this preached sometime, and they'll talk about the tithe. The word tithe simply means tenth. Okay, tithe, tenth, tenth part. It's not a tithe from the perspective of what you see under the law, because the law was not in existence at this time when Abraham did this, okay? It's definitely not the tithe in the way that is mistaught and miscommunicated in the contemporary church, okay? Because I'll tell you the truth right here. Nowhere in the scriptures do you see where the new covenant church is mandated to tithe, to give a tenth. You don't see that anywhere. You see where we give. You see where we're to give abundantly. You see where we're to give with joy. You see where we're to give to meet one another's needs. You see where we're to give proportionally. You see where we're to give according to as each man has determined in his own heart. That right there would automatically negate anything that's the standard of a 5% or a 10% or anything like that. No, you don't see that anywhere, but you see these other things. It's an entirely different mindset. But anyway, Abraham just gave because he wanted to, not because he was mandated, not because he was instructed or anything like that. But we see that this Melchizedek is the king of righteousness. That's what his name means. And he's the king of Salem, the king of peace. Salem means peace. Now, verse 3, listen to this. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Let me read that again. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. So, what question comes to your mind when you hear that? Huh? What do you think? Here's the question I've got. Who is he talking about? You know, who's he speaking of? When you're reading within the flow of the passage, it's talking about Melchizedek, right? Verse 1, verse 2, he's the king of righteousness, he's the king of peace. And then it continues on, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Who remains a priest perpetually? Well, apparently it's Melchizedek, but there's great debate over this, of who's, you know, being spoken about right here, because of what is described about him. I don't think it's that difficult to see. It may be more difficult to understand, okay, to see what's going on. But don't lose sight of what the big picture is, the big picture that we've seen. And particularly when you do a study and you do an overview of the entire book, you'll sort of see what the bigger picture is. We haven't done that, but I've been throwing these bigger picture things out at you. One of them, for instance, that Jesus is better than everything. That's something that you see after looking at the entire book. And I think what's being communicated right here is that he's saying, you know, we don't know anything about Melchizedek. We don't know from the scripture who his father was, without father, who his mother is. We don't know his genealogy, okay? We don't know about his beginning of days, and we don't know about the end of his life. In other words, he just pops on the scene right here. When you look at the priesthood of the Aaronic line, the Levitical priesthood, they had certain requirements, okay? You had to be of this family. You had to be of this. You can point to a time when that started. You can point and go back through their genealogies to prove that they are of these lines. But not with Melchizedek. Melchizedek just appears. And you have characters in the scripture that appear like that. Elijah just appears, okay? We don't know who they are. We may know where they're from, but even with Melchizedek, we know where he's from. Salem, from right there, he's the king of Salem. But we really don't know what he did prior to that. And so I believe that's what's being said here, is that we don't know about his genealogy. We don't know about his father. We don't know about his mother. We don't know about his beginning. We don't know about the balance of his life. Okay? We know that he's made like the Son of God. He said, what does that have to do with the Son of God? Well, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the same way. That he took on the form of flesh, okay? He appeared. He is God himself who took on the form of flesh. We know about his earthly father's line. We know about his mother's line. And both of those will prove his kingship from the earthly perspective. But both of them also prove that he doesn't qualify for the Aaronic line. Because he's not from the tribe of Levi, he's from the tribe of Judah. And what the author is doing right here is he's laying the groundwork, and we'll see this as we go through the next few verses right here, to show that Jesus is of a different priestly order. He is a priest forever. And the last verse right here, verse 3, it says that he remains a priest perpetually. So apparently Melchizedek remains a priest perpetually. Now there are those who believe that verse 3 right here is speaking of the Lord Jesus, that he's the one without father. Well, all that's totally true. Okay, it's true. Though he had a genealogy. See what I'm saying? He has a genealogy. So I think the greater understanding is this is about Melchizedek, and that Melchizedek remains a priest forever. And what he's going to be revealing is that Jesus is of this order and of this line of Melchizedek. The next few verses, which we'll see later, show us that Abraham acknowledged this and knew that this man was great. And knew there was something about him. And that's the reason that he gave him a tenth of his spoils. And that's the reason that Abraham received the blessing from Melchizedek. He didn't receive some things from another pagan king, if you remember that account, but he received the blessing from Melchizedek. We'll continue on. Y'all think about these things. Press on. I'll see you later. Goodbye.